From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, September the 18th, 2015. I'm Philip Grant. Kate Seckinger is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Thomas Cole Historic Site has been awarded more than $600,000 in federal funds to uncover the long-lost work of artist Thomas Cole, founder of the Hudson River School. The money was given to the Catskill House Museum by the National Endowment for the Humanities and the Institute of Museum and Library Services. In July, hand-painted historic murals by Cole were uncovered in the east and west parlors of his Cedar Grove. The two friezes, or decorative painted borders found near the ceilings in both rooms, are thought to date from around 1836. Thomas Cole Historic Site Executive Director Betsy Jack said board members and employees at Cedar Grove are grateful for the funds, which will be used to restore the friezes and implement features for a new exhibit. Work to peel back the layers of paint and expose the friezes will continue in late September, Jack said, and could continue for the next 2 years. She said, and I quote, "We want to restore the whole of every room from the floor to the ceiling." Cole has paintings in museums all over the world where people can go and get familiar with him. The newly discovered work on the wall is something that's not offered elsewhere. It will give us insight into how he made the paintings and why they look the way they are. With this funding, we will be able to get a glimpse at what made Thomas Cole tick, end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Daily Freeman is reporting that much of Mid-Hudson Valley and the Catskills enjoyed solid employment growth in the 12-month period ending August the 31st, the State Department of Labor reported on Thursday, September the 17th. Greene and Columbia County each gained 300 non-farm jobs during the period, bringing the August 2015 totals to 15,400 in Greene and 22,300 in Columbia. In the private sector alone, during the 12-month stretch, the state reported job gains in Ulster County, but information on private sector jobs in Greene, Columbia, Delaware, and Sullivan counties was not available. The state's unemployment rate last month was 5.2%, down from 5.4% the month before. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Scott Waldman is reporting at Politico New York that the state's evaluation of a crude oil heating project that could transform the types of crude oil brought through New York by rail is now in a state of limbo. The State Department of Environmental Conservation has not yet ordered a full environmental review or imposed a timeline on when a decision will be made. Possibility still exists that the DEC will not conduct a full environmental review at all. This week, Acting DEC Commissioner Mark Gretzman was noncommittal as to when the state would have a final decision on the project. He was careful to avoid calling the state's current analysis of the crude project an environmental review. Gertzman said, and I quote, "Certainly the options are out there, and we haven't determined which course we're going to take yet. We'll continue the review and look at all comments we received, and we'll make a decision after that," end quote. The project to install boilers near the Port of Albany that would allow for the offloading of heavy crude oil could establish a foothold for an expansion of shipping tar sands crude from the west coast of Canada to the east coast of the U.S. community, and environmental groups have hosted dozens of protests against the project. Tar sands crude is heavier than other crude oil, likely to sink in bodies of water and nearly impossible to clean up. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Charles Holmes is reporting in the Windham Journal that after last winter's cold and heavy snow damaged crops, local farmers can now apply for low-interest loans for crop damage since the United States Department of Agriculture made a disaster declaration, a representative of U.S. Senator Charles Schumer's office said on Friday. New York's other senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, said in a joint statement, and I quote, "When New York farmers struggle, our entire economy struggles. This past winter season was extremely difficult for our farmers, grape growers, and vineyards across the state. Losing out on these crops could set them behind all season, hurting local businesses and the economy throughout the state," end quote. The story says damage varied from farm to farm, with some spared and others hurt. Arnie Feller of Taconic Orchards in Hudson near Clabrick Creek said, and I quote, "I lost practically all my cherries. Some of the peach trees died too. Some trees had no peaches and others were loaded," end quote. Farmers with crop damage last winter can contact the Farm Service Agency at 518-828-4385. You can read that full story in the Windham Journal. In our final story, Nia Hamm of the Public News Service is reporting on people moving out of New York in 2013.
Nearly 115,000 people moved out of New York in 2013, more than any other state that year, says a new report based on IRS data by the right-leaning group Americans for Tax Reform. It has become fuel for those who argue high taxes and a hostile business environment are chasing people out of the state. But EJ McMahon, president of the Empire Center for Public Policy, says people have been migrating out of New York in steady numbers for more than 50 years. He says the reasons also may be different depending on which part of the state they're leaving.
Very high housing costs and a high cost of living downstate, and a lack of economic opportunity upstate. So the upstate economy is weaker and doesn't create as many jobs. The downstate economy may be stronger, but it's a very expensive place to live.
Matthew Lastner, an urban affairs and planning professor at Hunter College, says more people in the Midwest and Northeast are moving to southern and western states, partly because they're in a better financial position to do so. He points out that because New York's population is larger than states in those regions, it would naturally have a larger number of people leaving the state.
Businesses, for any number of reasons, and more importantly, ordinary people have been looking to make these moves for decades. Regardless of tax policy, and as much as we in New York love New York, the fact is that the cost of doing business in a kind of Sunbelt location is often lower.
Lastner says the only real difference with recent migration trends out of New York is that fewer people left the state during the Great Recession, and people tend to stay put during any recession. As the economy improves, he says, more people simply have the funds and financial security to make big moves. For Public News Service, I'm Nia Hamm.
And now for the weekend weather. The National Weather Service is predicting patchy fog before 9 a.m. today. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a high near 84 degrees. Friday night, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise clear with a low around 57. The forecast for the next 2 days, well on Saturday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 82 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers, increasing clouds, and a low around 57. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 71 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 47. Sunrise today was at 6:39 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:59 p.m., providing us with 12 hours and 20 minutes of daylight, 3 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 18th day of September, 2015. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Gray. Have a good day and a nice weekend.